And if you're here and you say, we have never had a problem in our marriage, you better come forward for salvation. Amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the second in Pastor Brian Grant's Design for Marriage series, where Pastor Grant will take us once again back to the book of Genesis to discover one of the chief reasons God designed and created Eve as the wife of Adam in the way that he did. So whether you are married, unmarried, or hope to be married, we trust the very practical tips Pastor Grant brings from God's Word will be helpful to all. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of How to Tune Up Your Marriage.
Frank had been married to Joan for over 50 years. They had shared everything except the secrets of the shoebox. Joan had a shoebox in the top of her closet, and she had cautioned Frank never to open it and never to ask about it. And Frank never did. But one day, as Joan lay terminally ill, she told Frank it was no time to open up the shoebox. And as he opened the shoebox, he found two crochet dolls and a stack of money totaling $25,000. What did he find in there? Two dolls and a stack of money totaling $25,000. He was surprised by this, and he lovingly asked Joan about the dolls and about the money. And Joan responded, "Just before we got married, my grandmother told me that the secret to a happy marriage was never to argue. She told me that if I ever got angry with you, instead of shouting, I should just keep quiet and crochet a doll." As the husband looked at the two dolls, just two dolls, as he looked at the two dolls lying in the shoebox, he was moved to tears, for this meant that only twice in their 50 years of marriage, only twice had his darling wife been angry with him. He was so excited. So he said to her, "But where did the $25,000 come from? How did you manage to save so much money?" Joan said, "The $25,000 is the money I got each time I sold some of the dolls." Poor Frank. Things had not gone as well as he had thought. You know, every marriage has problems. Am I right about that? And if you're here and you say, we have never had a problem in our marriage, you better come forward for salvation. Amen? Because every marriage has problems, and some have more than others. And today, as we continue the series on marriage, I'm using as my theme, how to tune up your marriage. How to tune up your marriage. Here's the first thing I want to put in your notes. Number one, cultivate companionship. Amen. Place your faith and reliance in God's counsel. Marriage is God's idea. He was the one who instituted marriage and made it a central part of his plan for mankind. That's why at most Christian weddings, the couple is reminded that marriage is a God-ordained institution and should therefore not be entered into lightly or unadvisedly, but what? Reverently, soberly, discreetly, and in the fear of God. Have you ever heard those words? Sadly, God's plan for marriage has been cheapened, and people are getting married without any thought of God. As a result, at many weddings today, God is not even mentioned. Have you ever gone to one of those weddings? I've gone to weddings like that. God is not even mentioned. He is totally out of the equation. But since marriage is God's idea, The only path to a truly blessed marriage, stay with me now. The only path to a truly blessed marriage is to follow God's blueprint. And the Bible clearly indicates that you can write this if you're taking notes. The Bible clearly indicates that God established the first marriage union because of mankind's need for what? Human companionship. Oh, please don't miss that. Those of you who are married and those of you young people who are hoping to be married, and teenagers are here, the young adults are not with us, but teens, listen, God designed marriage because of mankind's need for human companionship. Last time I shared with you part of the way God has helped solve that problem is through the local church. And this is why those who are not married, it is so important that as a church family, we recognize that we're in this together and God wants us to help meet each other's need for human companionship. Amen. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, here's how the Bible reads. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. People need people. Every animal had already had a companion, but Adam had none. But in accordance with God's eternal plan, he was about to provide Adam with a companion. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21, we read the story. And the Lord God, I'm reading verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called, not woe to man. Some husbands think it's woe to man. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Instead of making Eve from the dust of the ground as he did with Adam, God took a rib from Adam to form Eve. Have you ever thought of why? Write this down. By taking a rib from Adam to form Eve, God demonstrated that Adam and Eve were of the same substance and that together were the bearers of his image and likeness. It's no accident that when God made a companion for Adam, he made a woman named Eve, not a man named Steve. Oh, I know we have heard this before, but I don't want to leave this without saying a word or two here. God did not make a man named Steve. He made a woman named Eve. And although, listen, young people, I want you to be listening, because some of what we're saying is no longer politically correct. While we were in Dallas just yesterday, a gentleman came to see us. It's so funny. I don't know why he thought we were Christians, but the concierge, he decided he was going to walk a half a mile with us down the road to where we were going, and he just was sharing his concern about all that was going on. But I better not go off on a tangent. Someday I'll say a little bit more about some of what he said, but I could get lost if I start that today. Listen good. Although our society now accepts more than 150 genders, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God gave us the name of only two genders he made. I want this to be clear, because the Bible's made it clear that anyone who gives you more than two is something we have made up ourselves. God did not make more than two genders. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it tells us, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. And what does your Bible say? Male and female, he created them. Who did God create? Male and female. Young people, stay with me. Don't allow the world to suck you in. God made two genders, male and female. Amen. The multiplicity of sexes recognized today has not caught God by surprise. You say, oh my God, must be so surprised. No, God is not surprised. For mankind's rebellion against God's plan started early in human history. That's why by the time we get to Genesis 19, isn't it amazing? By the time you get to Genesis 19, homosexuality was so already rampant in the city of Sodom. Can you imagine that? Things just got started. And by Genesis 19, it is so rampant. And you can read the story on your own, because I can't allow myself to go there, or it will take us away from our topic today. But it's so important that we get a full understanding. And those of you who are struggling with this idea, some of you may be struggling today, and we're more than willing. You said, I better not speak to our elders, Vic, because they're so against it. No. If you're struggling, we want to talk with you. We want to help you. We want to lovingly lead you away from Satan's trap and lead you to show you that there is life in Jesus Christ. In Genesis 2:23, as God brought Eve to Adam, Adam was so thrilled, he exclaimed, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Adam was thrilled to see Eve. So, husbands, let me ask you, are you thrilled to see your wife? Or is the thrill gone? Wives, is the thrill gone? I think there was some song about the thrill. What was that song again? Listen, I pray we will do all we can to keep the thrill going. Amen? Amen. Husbands, wives, God expects the thrill to keep going. And by the help, I see some who are about to get married looking straight at me. Yes, this thrill can keep going. Some of you know next year is going to be 50 years by the grace of God. And I tell you, as my wife, I can't say it's as much about the grace, but from her standpoint, it's by the grace of God to deal with a guy like me. But by the grace of God, the thrill is still going. Amen. Satan knows that one of the key ways couples keep the thrill going is by cultivating companionship. Hold on to that. Husband, one of the key ways to keep the thrill going is by cultivating companionship. Do you hear I use the word cultivating? Because there are things you need to do. There are things we need to guard against. But there are practical steps that we need to take if we're going to cultivate companionship. So Satan, knowing that cultivating companionship is critical to keep the thrill going, he is doing everything he can to set traps for us. Let's take a moment to look at two of the primary traps Satan uses in his determination to destroy companionship. Add this to your notes. Satan often uses our occupation to damage companionship. If you believe I'm right, say amen. I've heard people say that work is God's punishment for man's sin. And although that's partly true, even before God made Eve, he had already given Adam an important job to keep him busy. I'm not going to take the time since I've already gone off the tangent a few times, but read on your own Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 to 20, and you will see that even before Adam made Eve, God made Eve, Adam had work to do. Sometimes we say that it's because of sin why work was given. That's not necessarily true. Work is a very honorable thing. One of the great tragedies, however, is that quite often married couples allow their jobs to destroy companionship. I've met couples who are like ships passing in the night. They're on two different shifts. When one is leaving in the morning, the other is just arriving home. And when the other spouse arrives home in the evening, the other spouse is just getting ready to work. And what makes it even worse is that if there's ever an opportunity for overtime, I'm not talking about anybody, so if you think I'm talking about you, I ain't. But just think of this. If one of the primary reasons for marriage is companionship, if you're on a ship passing in the night, you're working when she's sleeping, she's sleeping when, and then you get a chance for overtime, and you're gone again. Oh, you could get rich. But there's no companionship. May God help us. It's a trick. It's a trap. We have to spend time developing companionship. Companionship takes time. We gotta hang together. And sometimes we fool ourselves into believing we're cultivating companionship because we're home. But we're home before the TV watching the game. We're not interacting with our spouse. Companionship takes time. So if you're guilty, may God help us to do everything we can not to allow the devil to put us in his trap. Amen? And that we may demonstrate by our lives that we recognize how important companionship is, that this is priority for God, and that we will put priority on it, that we will not be so quick and willing to go hang out with the guys or with the girls. You know, a lot of married people, instead of hanging with their spouse, they're hanging out with somebody else. Oh, that you can do that every now and then, but for crying out loud, you hardly ever spend time with your spouse, but you're spending time with everybody else. Listen, you can expect trouble. Companionship, to develop companionship, it takes effort. But oh, I tell you, if you take it, it's going to be worth it, because you'll find out the thrill is not gone. Amen? But here's a second trap. Satan often uses our family to damage companionship. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 tells us, therefore a man shall what? You know, there's a good reason why God puts that in there. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Be joined to his wife. And they shall become one flesh. Listen, we love our families, but we got to be careful. I've met many husbands who are still mama's boys. Whatever mama wants, mama gets. Am I right about that? You ever see that happen? In fact, I've met sons every day on his way. He has to call mama. He's got to stop and see mama every single day. But many wives are also like that. They'll rush to give mama or dada whatever they want. Whatever mama or dada wants, they get, no matter how it impacts their family. Now, please don't get me wrong. Because God expects expects us. We must honor our parents. Amen. It is a sin against God when we don't honor our parents. We are to honor them. Amen. We cannot abandon our parents. And as our parents get older, sometimes they get sick and they require a significant amount of our attention. And listen, if you're married and you say, oh, it's my wife's wife, that does not excuse you, because the two became one. If you are married and your in-law is sick, you have to jump in as well. Amen. We're in this together. Do you know the amazing thing is, even as we serve our parents together, companionship is being built. Am I right about that? Just think of that. As we serve together, companionship is being built. But may God help us. If you're having that problem, listen. If you're one of those who believe you're really having a problem, write this down. Some folks don't believe that they're free, okay? Sometimes you have a mom or a dad who is so demanding, they want all of your time. Do you know that some people have that? It's really dad or mom. Should they just come? I need it. Write this in your notes. If you're having that problem, start thinking of your wedding day as Emancipation Day. The day you decided that although you still love your parents, your love and your commitment to your spouse has to take precedence over your commitment to any other human on the planet. Amen? I think you're missing that last fill-in. I believe there's a fill-in after that, okay? Start thinking of your wedding. Well, I may not actually have it, but it's okay. All right. You say, what about our children? Shouldn't they be our priority? You know, some people say, oh, you ever run into parents like that? I don't have time for my husband today. I have the children. It's always the children. And so you may come and say, Pastor, should my children be the priority? You better believe they better not be your priority. Because one of them days, those kids, bye-bye, mama, bye-bye, daddy, amen. And so you had better make sure that you're cultivating companionship with your husband. Oh, I know some of you have some challenges at home, and that's for another time. We'll come and talk about that in one of the other messages. But for those of you who are getting along pretty well, grab a hold of these things. Prioritize efforts to develop companionship.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.